For our main text this morning, we're going to go to Ruth chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Turn to your neighbor and say, Ruth. 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 Ruth 1, starting in verse 1. And it says this: In the days when the judges ruled in Israel, a severe famine came upon the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah left his home, and he went in the country of Moab, taking his wife and his two sons with him. The man's name was Elimelech, and his wife was Naomi. Their two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephraites from Bethlehem in the land of Judah. And when they reached Moab, they settled there. But then Elimelech died, and Naomi was left with her two sons. The two sons married Moabite women. One married a woman named Orpah, and the other a woman named Ruth, but about 10 years later. Verse 5, but Mahlon and Chilion died, and this left Naomi alone without her two sons or her husband. Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had blessed his people in Judah by giving them good crops again. So Naomi and her daughters-in-law got ready to leave Moab to return to the homeland. With her two daughter-in-laws, she set out from the place where she had been living. Then they took the road that would lead them back to Judah. But on the way back, Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back to your mother's homes. May the Lord reward you for your kindness to your and to your husbands and to me." Verse 9, "May the Lord bless you with security of another marriage." Then she kissed them goodbye, and they all broke down and wept. "No," they said, "we want to go with you to your people." And Naomi replied, "Why should you go on with me? Can I still give birth to other sons who could grow up to be your husbands? No, my daughters. Return to your parents' homes, for I'm too old to marry again. And even if it were possible, and if I were to get married tonight and bear sons, then what? Would you wait for them to grow up and refuse to marry someone else? No, of course not. My daughters, things are far more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord himself has raised his fist against me." And again they wept together, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. But Ruth clung tightly to Naomi. "Look," Naomi said to her, "your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods. You should do the same." Ruth replied, "Don't ask me to leave you and turn back, for wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God." Verse 17, "Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us." When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she said nothing more. So the two of them continued on their journey. When they came to Bethlehem, the entire town was excited by their arrival. "Is it really Naomi?" the woman asked. "Is it really her?" Verse 20, "Don't call me Naomi," she responded. "Instead, call me Mara, for the Almighty has made my life very bitter for me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me home empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has caused me to suffer and the Almighty has sent such tragedy upon me?" Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by her daughter-in-law Ruth and the young Moabite woman. They arrived in Bethlehem in late spring at the beginning of the barley harvest. It says that in this time, the story of Naomi and Ruth was taking place, people did right in their own eyes. This was a period of time where, if you follow the Jewish history, the Israelites' history, they went from Canaan down to Egypt where they became slaves. They left Canaan. They got delivered from Egypt and Pharaoh, "Let my people go." Remember Moses and all those things. And they wandered the desert and all that time. They get into their land finally, and they didn't have a king. And as they didn't have a king, it says people did whatever they wanted to do. Judges 21:25. In those days, Israel had no king. And all the people did whatever seemed right in their own eyes. Just like for many people today, how many of us know people who don't have a faith in God? They don't believe in God. They don't believe in the Bible. And whoever we know who does not have a faith in God, for them, it's the same thing. They do whatever they feel is right in their own eyes. Instead of trying to do what's right in God's eyes, they try to do what's right in their own eyes. And so here's the time, here's the period where Naomi and Ruth find themselves, these two wonderful people. And really, for this tragedy, it starts off with a bad thing, a famine. Turn to your neighbor and say, I hate famine. Famine is when there is no water. And how many of us know, if you're a farmer, water is kind of important, right? Water, rain for your crops so that what the crops can grow. And here's a family, a godly man whose name means my God, my King, takes his wife, he takes his two sons, and he had to leave to a different land, a different country, because there was no water. There was no water, and so there was a famine that hits. They're a little low on food, low on toilet paper, right? Low on all those things. And so they leave Bethlehem, which Bethlehem means house of food, and they leave to Moab. This poor guy, man, whose name, my God is King, gets there. As soon as he gets there, what happens? He passes away. So from one tragedy to the next, from famine, then to death. Weird. This poor lady, Naomi, as she's there, she's navigating, she has her two sons. She finds some wives, because that's what good moms do, right? Find good, wonderful, rich wives for their boys, right? Just kidding. But she finds wives for her boys. But as soon as they get married, a few years down the road, guess what? Tragedy hits again. And then what happens? Her sons die. So this lady, Naomi, she finds herself. It says she described her life as, I once was full, but now my life is empty. And I have nothing, and I have no one. Because unfortunately, she knew that looking at these two young ladies that were married to her sons, they were still young. So why would she take them along with her on the journey? She didn't have a husband to provide for her. She did not have her sons who would grow up and have kids who would also provide for them. And so she found herself in a very empty position. And I don't know if you've ever been in an empty position before. But empty means not full of anything, not full, not full, not satisfied, empty. And so Naomi finds herself empty in this situation. She turns to her daughter-in-laws and she says, I can't ask you to go with me. One of them turns and goes home. But for the other one, really the story in here is about a young lady named Ruth. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's about Ruth, huh? It's about Ruth. For her mother-in-law, who suffered an emotional, heart-wrenching, gut-wrenching, having no economic support or family or future to think about, she turns to her daughters and she gives them, daughter-in-law's, options, because we like options, right? She turns to them and she gives them options and say, you could stay, but I think you should go home, and I think you should find a new husband, because it's not something that I could provide for you. And crazy about this story, as we know, Orpha returns, goes home, probably gets a man, and all is well. But for Ruth in this story, she turns to this mother-in-law, and the comment that she makes to her is, I'm going to give my life completely to you. I have no idea what the future will hold. I have no idea how we'll be provided for. But wherever you go, I'm going to go. Wherever you live, I'm going to live. Your God will be my God. And so she makes this statement. This is a great statement of faith that she makes in this moment, that she is willing fully, fully to give herself to her mother-in-law. Now, all of us love our mother-in-laws already, right? But for this young lady, she says, I'm giving myself fully, mother-in-law, to follow you. As the two young ladies pull into Bethlehem, which is house of food, they showed up at the right time. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's the right time. The right time. And so you had Ruth, and her name means a friend, because all of us, how many of us know we all need friends? Ruth means friend. Naomi means pleasant. But when Naomi gets to town, you know what she did? Everyone was excited to see her. And I don't know if you've ever been in that situation where you haven't seen a family member or friend for a long time, and then all of a sudden they come back and everybody's, oh my gosh, it's so good to see you, blah, 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 blah. And then their attitude's just totally different, kind of man, that person, that's just kind of stinky. I just don't remember them being that way, right? The way they talk, the way they dress, everything about them, it just seems stinky. This is how Naomi, when she left home, praised, adored, but she comes back and she's bitter. She's angry. She's a widow. She lost her husband. She lost her sons. And as they're saying, this is Naomi. Wow. She goes, no. Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara, which means bitter. She's making a full statement with her mouth, her words, and her actions because of the loss that she had gone through. She was a very, very angry, frustrated, bitter woman. I don't know if any of us have ever felt that that way before. But for this woman, how many of us know if you're going to show up somewhere, this is the right time to show up? They showed up at harvest time. Turn to your neighbor and say, harvest time. Woo! Because harvest time, usually between March and May, is when they harvest barley and they harvest wheat. And so for harvest time, this is the time of blessing. Because how many of us know when the cupboards are full, we feel blessed? When the cupboards are empty, we don't feel so blessed anymore. And so they arrived home. They arrived in the perfect time when the cupboards were about to be full. It was the time of harvest, and it was a time of learning to become full again. Turn to your neighbor and say, this is the time to learn to become full again. Because how is for a person, and how for any one of us, spiritually, physically, emotionally, Jesus said, remember, I came to give you life, and life, you could say, to the max, to the fullest, life and then some. And this is where Naomi, as a young lady, married, happy, go lucky, the White House and the picket fence, the two beautiful dogs, golden retrievers, golden and wonderful, all of those things, feeling so full. Because how many of us know, like Naomi, sometimes we judge life by the measure of what we have. And so for Naomi, she learns a very hard lesson in this story where she judged life by the measure of what she had. And then what she had, what? Was lost. And for many of us this morning, how many of us in our 30, 40 years of living and younger 20 years of living judge life the exact same way? We judge by the measure of what we have or what we think we should have. That's the other one, right? Not that any of us want to go there. But how many of us do judge life with the measure of what we do not have? And so for Naomi, I'm full, I'm empty, but my life is about to become full again. Turn to your neighbor and say, full again. Whew. I don't know if any of you are getting hungry yet because you're about to become full again. Ruth in this story was said to be a light in a dark time, a light in a dark time. John 8:12 says, Jesus spoke to the people once more and he said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. So 1,000 some years after Ruth's life, Jesus spoke these words, I am the light of the world. But he also said, Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. And so this young lady who was born, whose name was Ruth, she was born to be a light in a dark time. She was born to be a breath of fresh air. Ruth gave Naomi a breath of fresh air. Just like many of us, Jesus said, I'm the light of the world, but so are you. You are the light of the world. And so today, everywhere we go, this week, everything that we do, what are we called to be? We're called to be a light in a dark time. We're called to bring light in a dark time. And everywhere we go, if we're bringing peace and goodness and love and all those wonderful things, what are we doing? We're bringing Light. Turn your neighbor and say light. Light is such a wonderful thing. Because how many of us know there's people that we get around and we just feel refreshed? I don't know why, but when I'm around this friend, I just feel good. When I'm around this sibling, I feel wonderful, right? When I'm around that wacko, I feel hopeless, right? But life is learning. There's needs that we have, and life is also learning. In order for certain needs for me to be met, maybe I need to meet those needs in other people. If I really am desperate for a friend, maybe I need to learn how to become a better friend. Maybe if I'm not getting something in life, in relationship that I'm looking for, maybe that I need to turn and look in the mirror and try to focus on how do I become better than in those relationships. And so for this story, we see the difference between Naomi and we see in Ruth. And you have an older lady named Naomi who had nothing to give, had nowhere to go, nothing like she felt like she could do in life. At where you turn and you see Ruth, and this was someone who was giving everything. And so you had two opposites. One who felt like I have nothing left to give, and the other one who was saying, I give everything for you. I give everything for you. Showing up at harvest time, how many of us know I'm not a farmer? Never really, well, I probably can't say I've never planted anything, but I'm not a farmer. Okay, I don't grow crops in my house, which maybe is not a bad idea, right? But to take a second and just picture in the time that they grew up in and what they were about to become part of. And I encourage you, read the book of Ruth. It's short. It's only a few chapters, so you can breeze right through it. It is such a beautiful story. God's grace, his kindness, his mercy. But as they show up, Ruth says to her mother-in-law, stay here, stay home. I'm going to go work for you. I'm going to provide for you. Now think about that, and just as we take a step back to think about Ruth, she's giving her life, and now she's saying, I will step in to be the provider for you. And she's going to work in the harvest fields. And I don't know if many of you know what harvest fields look like. There's guys with weapons out there, machetes or sickles, right? It wasn't the most peaceful, quiet place, because how many of us know if you get a large group of men together with weapons, it could be kind of a funky spot, right? And so for Ruth, she says to her mom, I'm going to put my life on the line. I'm young, I'm vulnerable, but I'm going to go work and beg in the fields so that I can provide for you. And so during harvest time, they would cut the ripened strands of grain with sickles. They would bind the grain into sheaves. They would glean and gather the stalks left behind. They would transport the sheaves to the threshing floor. The threshing floor, they would loosen the grain from the strands. They would winnow these sheaves by tossing them up in the air. In the afternoon, there was a breeze that would come by, and they would toss these sheaves into the air, and at a certain time, the chaff and the straw would be blown away, and the grain would fall at the winnower's feet. They would sift the grain, and they would remove all the residual. They would bag it for transport and storage. They put a lot of time, energy into harvest time. And you think about it, it's kind of a good picture of us spiritually. Because how many of us know if you had to go through those eight different processes, it's a lot of time, sweat, and energy, sun up, sundown kind of work. Very, very difficult. But when you transported all the goods and you put them in your storage, at some moment, you take a breath and say, man, this feels pretty good. Look at all the food that we have, right? Kind of like if I was to take a step back, and I'm not, and nor will I ever be a mother, but I got to imagine for a mom, you carry a baby roughly for 9 months up to the point of delivery, right? And that delivery, as I've told and been heard, is not the easiest of process to deliver a baby. But yet when the baby's born, a little boy, a little girl, and they come out so cute and beautiful and perfect, some of the pain gets erased from what you went through. Reminding us that spiritually and physical, this physical life that we live in, everything that you work extremely hard for, everything that you put your life completely into, you will see a harvest. No matter what we do, the Bible says no matter what you do, good or bad, you will reap a harvest from that. Because we all do things every single day, like planting seeds. When we walk down the street and we see somebody we don't like and we, you know, kind of just, you know, that is a seed that gets planted. And then 5 minutes down the road, someone's giving you the universal finger for hello because you cut them off. Right? It's amazing how things come back to us, the seeds that we plant. But in this story, there is a great harvest and a great reward. Why? Because people were willing to put hard work into it. And because they put hard work into it, they received a great harvest. Ruth put herself on the line. She gave all that she had to take care of her mother-in-law. And because of what she was willing to give, the reward that she got, you're going to see here down the road, was far greater than anything she could ever dream or imagine. Because she was willing to give herself, Ruth was willing to give. I'm willing to give and to serve my mother-in-law, not expecting anything in return. All I'm here to do is to serve and take care of my mother-in-law. Don't we all like somebody like that in our life? All they want to do, they're here to serve and to give and to love and provide. So she finds herself and she tells her mother-in-law, I'm going to go out there and work. Well, good enough, the law of Moses instructed landowners to leave what harvesters miss for the poor, for the foreigners, for the widows, and for the fatherless. And so she goes out knowing there will be stuff left over. And sometimes what we don't realize, what is left over could be a blessing to somebody else. What we may see, maybe it's not trash, maybe it's just not good enough anymore, but what the harvesters miss, it fed the poor, it fed the foreigners, it fed the widows, and the fatherless. So people's leftovers, what was missed, what was passed by, fed the poor, the foreigners, the widows, and the fatherless. And so for Ruth in this story, knowing that God's law says for the poor, for the foreigner, showing that he cares for every single person on this planet, there will always be something for you. There will always be enough for you. I will always provide for you. And so Ruth goes out and she gets food for her and her mom. And so the story today kind of speaks of so many different things. Obviously, number one, it's learning to have a full life again when you feel like all the life is gone. Losing everything, becoming emotionally tired and completely empty, Naomi. But through the grace of God, God made Naomi feel full again, full plus tax, or a life with fullness. Turn to your neighbor and say, fullness. Fullness, what is that? The state of being filled to capacity. And how many of us would like to live a life that is full to capacity? But many of us know, I don't want to just live a life filled to capacity. How about a little extra? Because how many of us know, at times, a little extra goes a long way? Well, Jesus said, Luke 6:38, give, you will receive, and your gift will return to you, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over, poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you give back. Financially, physically, emotionally, spiritually, to those who are willing to give. Spiritually, physically, emotionally, every single aspect of life, for those who are willing to give without the thought of what I will receive on the other side. I'm willing to give. I'm willing to serve. I'm willing to lay my life on the line. It says God will return to you. God promises to return to you. Every gift pressed down, shaken to make room for more, so that what? We can have a very full life. John 10:10, Jesus said, my purpose is to give you a rich and satisfying life. At one point in the story, we know that Naomi, she felt abandoned by God. She said that God's fist is against me. And if there was going to be one fist against me, that would not be the fist I would want against me. But this is how she felt in the story. She said, God's hand and God's fist are against me. But no matter how dark she felt, she realized, number one, God never abandoned me, and God will always fulfill me. And this is something we have to remind ourselves. No matter how I feel, just like Naomi, abandoned, number one, God will never abandon me, and he will always fulfill me. Number two, to understand, God is always trustworthy in every situation, no matter how light and no matter how dark it is outside, God is trustworthy. Number three, having faith in God means taking risks. We didn't really get to our wonderful man, Boaz. It's kind of like Ken and Barbie. We're going to Ruth and Boaz, because it's a beautiful love story, which I encourage you, read it, check it out. It's awesome and amazing. But number three, learning to have faith in God, and having faith in God means I need to learn to take risks. And so Ruth, this young lady, which we didn't get to, she steps out on the ledge. She steps out to make this introduction with Boaz. She steps out to say, hey, you want to get married? She was a little forthcoming in what she said. And Boaz says to her, as she made that step of faith, as she took that risk, because how many of us know, if you're going to be really forthcoming, whether it's a guy or a girl, and you don't even know, how many of us wouldn't want to face that rejection if the other person didn't feel that same way, right? If you're like, you have to be the one. You're the one for me. I know it. But what if that one didn't feel the same way? Ruth steps out on a limb. She takes a risk of faith to say to this man, will you become my guy? And Boaz, he then steps out and takes a risk, because the next morning, very early in the morning, he gathers all the elders of the town, he brings them together, and he says to these guys, he says, listen, we have these two young ladies who just came to town, Naomi and Ruth. Naomi has land, but she has no man to take care of that land. And so when you are in these types of situation, the nearest family member, your nearest neighbor, family member could buy that land and assume the right to take care of that family's land. And so Naomi, she found herself home, she had land, and they were looking for someone to take care of her and Ruth. And Boaz was not the nearest relative, family member, three cousins once removed, down the road. Okay, we're not in Arkansas, so it's down. And so for Boaz, he makes a statement, and he says, I'm willing to purchase the land and to assume the right to take care of these young ladies. But he says to this other guy, you are the nearest of relatives, and you have the right. And so he puts his life, he puts his family name on the line to care for these two. He took that step. So number three, learning to take that step and put that faith in God, which means taking a risk at times. Number four, the story speaks about learning to be faithful in the ordinary. And for these people in this story, such a beautiful story for Ruth and Boaz, who Ruth, she lost her husband, she follows her mother-in-law, had no idea what was going to happen, but you know what? She got a guy, right? Punch your neighbor and say, she got a guy. Yes. But for Ruth and Boaz, there was something very amazing that God did with this couple. Through their marriage, through having kids, through being parents, through owning a farm, this couple left a legacy of faith, family, and love. This couple, it was an awkward setup from the very beginning, from the get-go, because Ruth was a foreigner. She was from out of town. That's like, you know, somebody from Hemet going to marry somebody at Oceanside. Just different, right? Or somebody from Hemet in this wonderful valley going to marry somebody from Arizona. just different. Because how many of us know, as we know, Californians only produce happy cows, so we drink happy milk. And happy milk makes us different. We're just different kind of people in California. But this couple, from the very beginning and from the very start of their love and their love story, it's awkward, but it's amazing all at the same time. And God teaches us through the faithfulness of Ruth that when we are faithful, there will be a large reward for faithfulness. Number four, it's learning to be faithful through every moment of life. God will always be faithful, but he wants to teach us how to be faithful as well through every circumstance. And so it's learning to be faithful through every circumstance and then to see the reward at the end. For Ruth, it's a story of a godly character when no one else was godly. This was a woman who was a light, but also had a greater character than most of the men and the women who were all around. She was a foreigner. She grew up in a place where they did not worship God. They worshiped a false god. But she was willing to completely change her whole entire life, the character to willingly, fully change her life completely for one person, her mother-in-law. The character that this woman had is the same kind of character God's asking us to have today. Because we live again in 2024 where there's some dark spots out there. There are dark spots, there's dark moments, there's dark situations, even happened in our valley and even around the world, there are some dark things. And so as Ruth became a bright light, God is asking us to be a bright light today. And God is asking us that our character, that the faithfulness in everything inside of us, that we would do whatever we could to bring that light and love in every situation, no matter what. Number five, God works in ordinary, sometimes in easy and simple situations. Because for many of us, we picture love, husbands and wives getting married, having kids. Sometimes it's just like we think it's the normal. It's just something that happens, you know. But God uses this couple for a very specific, very, very unique situation. And God accomplishes his purpose and he blesses his children. Sometimes, how many of us know, through the boring routine of everyday life, we all can get bored. We all can get weary and tired of daily situations, and so it's learning to be faithful through the boring and routine of certain situations. I want to close with the last couple verses of Ruth, and if you have your Bibles, it's Ruth 4, verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth into his home. She became his wife. When he slept with her, the Lord enabled her to become pregnant, and she gave birth to a son. The woman of the town said to Naomi, "Praise the Lord, who has now provided a redeemer for your family. May this child be famous in Israel. May he restore your youth and care for you in your old age. For he is the son of your daughter-in-law, who loves you and has been so better to you than seven sons. For he is the son of your daughter-in-law who loves you and has been better to you than seven sons." Verse 16. So Naomi took the baby, cuddled her, and she cared for him as if he were her own. The neighbor woman said, "Now at last Naomi has a son again." And they named him Obed, who became the father of Jesse and the grandfather of David. Matthew chapter 1. Verse 5, it says, Salmon was the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz was the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed was the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother was Bathsheba, the widow of Uriah. And lastly, verse 17, all those listed above include 14 generations from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the Babylonian exile, and 14 from the Babylonian exile to the Messiah. And what is one of the most amazing things about this story, about God, about his grace, his love, his compassion, his desire? Ruth had every right to go back home and marry any dumb guy she wanted to from Moab, right? But what did she decide to do? Ruth decided, I'm going to live for somebody else. I'm going to live for something and someone other than myself. And in doing so, she becomes the grandma of King David, the grandmama of King David. Because Ruth was willing to be a godly woman, because Ruth was willing to make godly choices, because Ruth was willing to put her life on the line, because Ruth was willing to have more character than anyone else around her, because Ruth was willing to live a selfless life, not a selfish life, because Ruth was willing to stand up and step out, God made her the grandma of King David, who many consider the greatest king of Israel that they have ever had. Who is King David? Why don't you ever heard of King David? He was a young shepherd boy who killed lions and bears. He was tough. King David, this young shepherd boy, was a giant killer. He wasn't afraid of any man, no matter their size and their weight, no matter what kind of weapons other men carried. This man was willing to take on anybody. Why? Because he did not want anyone to make fun of God or his brothers. David, this young, courageous man who became one of the greatest kings ever. His grandma was Ruth. God blessed her and made her great and preserved her family line. Why? Because of the choices and the attitude she was willing to have. Because of the choices, the character, the love, the compassion, the servanthood that Ruth was willing to have. Even so much, if you follow the family line and you read Matthew chapter 1, Grandma, King David, but also in the family line of somebody even greater. I don't know if you know his name, Jesus. Here's a woman who was a foreigner, not even supposed to marry anybody in the Jewish community. But because of her choices, the good choices that she was willing to make, God blessed and made this woman stand out, put her story in the Bible, put her story in the line in Matthew chapter 5 of all the men who came from this woman because of the great things, the great choices that she was willing to make. And so a couple things as we wrap up and we get out of here and we get ready to celebrate moms today. Number one, never give up. Don't ever give up. No matter where we are and no matter what we do, God needs us to never give up. Because at the right time, he promised in Galatians 6:9, at the right time, if you don't give up, you will see a harvest of blessing. 1 Corinthians 13:4, love is patient, kind. It's not jealous, boastful, proud, rude. It doesn't demand its own way. It's not irritable. It keeps no records of being wrong. It doesn't rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. It's always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. And that 1 Corinthians 13 definition of love, to me, reminds me of who Ruth was. It says that for her, the love that she had for her mother-in-law, and we have no idea why. If she just had good parents, then that probably had something to do with it. So she was taught and trained well. But it says that the love that she had for her mother-in-law, this kind of love, I don't know if you know Genesis chapter 1, it talks about, actually Genesis 2, but it talks about when God made a husband and a wife and the two become one, she had a love for her, and it wasn't any kind of perverted or gross love, but it was a love for a mother-in-law that was, I'm going to hold you tight, and I'm going to hold you close. I'm going to do everything that I possibly can to give my life and to serve you. This kind of love, this kind of person who became a great mom, who became a great grandma, is the kind of love that God's asking us to have today. And if we choose to be that kind of person with character and love and grace and mercy, there is a great reward that follows. Let's pray.